Thank the Lord this morning for salvation. Thank Him for His personal relationship in each one of our lives. Sure, the Lord is faithful and good. And I'm glad that He made salvation like He did. I'm glad that He arranged that every one of us could have a personal relationship with the Lord. And they didn't have to settle maybe for less than what the Lord wanted to give us because someone else settled for less. But the Lord has provided a way that every one of us could have the abundance of His grace and salvation, joy, a real close walk with the Lord. And there's no one in the world that can keep you from knowing the Lord and knowing His ways and enjoying His presence. And I believe that's wonderful this morning. Thank the Lord for that. We readily acknowledge the need of the Lord this morning to bless His Word and to each one of our hearts. I believe He'll do that. I want to read a verse to start with to build on the thought I felt like the Lord gave me. And that's in the 4th chapter of the Proverbs, the 23rd verse. Where the Scripture says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Instructions for us to take care of our heart and to keep it, not only just in a casual manner, but it says keep it with all diligence, very earnest carefulness, recognizing that all the issues of life come from our heart. And that's true this morning. Matters not who we are or what the conditions might be. All the conduct of our life, whether it's our thought, word, or deed, it really comes from the heart. People may not be conscious of that sometimes, and they might say something else, but the word of the Lord is true, and it says that out of all the issues of life, it comes from the heart. Therefore, we're instructed to keep our hearts with all diligence, with all carefulness, recognizing that the condition of our life is really the condition of our heart. And if our heart is burning fervently with love and obedience and hungering and thirsting after God, that's our condition of our heart, then that will be the condition of our experience and the way that we're living. But if our heart begins to become indifferent or a little lukewarm, then that also reflects in our life. We can't have a careless, indifferent heart and a fervent life. It doesn't work that way. So the Scripture says to be careful, be diligent, keep your heart in the way in which it should be, for out of it are all the issues of life. Then I also was reminded when I thought along this line of the familiar scripture in the 10th chapter of Romans. I'll read the 9th, especially want to consider the 10th. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Whether it's to experience of being justified, being saved, it is only as one believes in their heart would they be able to truly repent of their sins and put their faith in the shed blood of Jesus and have the forgiveness of sin. If one just has that in their mind, maybe just a knowledge, and that is much in the world today, you hear people talk about making a decision for Christ or accepting Christ, and it's pretty much limited to just their thoughts. It doesn't really bring righteousness. It doesn't really change your life. For it's only as people truly repent of their sins and turn from their sins and truly believe in Jesus as their Savior and the merits of His shed blood, His atonement and sacrifice, and His resurrection, and they believe that in their heart, are they able to be forgiven of their sins and made a new creature in Christ Jesus? And that's where our righteousness begins, is in our new birth. But the new birth only comes through that faith or that belief of the heart. And when it comes to progressing in our spiritual life, to move on into a sanctified life, to be wholly sanctified, that also is the belief of the heart. People today can maybe come to some knowledge of needing to dedicate their life to the Lord, and some people do in their own efforts, sometimes through ignorance, and they begin to try to do more good works. But that will not really bring that infilling of the Holy Spirit, that sanctified life, that deliverance from carnality that comes through a definite work of a sanctification. And that work is wrought through believing in our hearts. In other words, you can be taught as a child, you need to go to the altar, you need to seek the Lord, you need to be sanctified. But until we embrace that truth with our heart, we believe it in our heart, can we actually move into the experience that it works in our heart and life? It doesn't stop there. Being saved and sanctified is wonderful, but it doesn't stop there. We talk about becoming more spiritual, or stronger in the Lord, or mature in the Lord. And that also is accomplished not just in our minds, but that's accomplished with the faith of our heart, or believing in our heart. When you hear an exhortation, or in your personal devotion, where the Lord shows you how you might draw closer to Him and be stronger and be more spiritual, you will move into that experience as you believe in your heart. Whether it's a personal dealing of the Lord, or whether it's a message, or whether it's just whatever means the Lord might use to bring the understanding of that spiritual experience and walk with Him, it will only be obtained, possessed within you as you believe it in your heart, because our relationship with God is that which is with the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now, people sometimes seem to get saved and they fail to go on to perfection. They fail to go on and seek a sanctified life. And it's because in their heart they fail to embrace or believe that that is the will of the Lord. And they fail to be willing to yield to that. Therefore, they limit God and what God could do with their life. There are those that may seek and truly be sanctified, filled with His Spirit, and the Lord would continue to guide and direct them and lead them. It is important that we continue to believe with the heart the Word of the Lord, His personal lessons or His personal dealings with our life, that we not would disregard that, but embrace it with the heart, because out of the heart are all the issues of life. The Lord speaks to us this morning and tells us that we need a greater love for the lost. That's truth. And we need to not just acknowledge that verbally or in our minds, but we need to embrace that with belief in our heart that I need a greater love for the lost. And I will seek that greater love for the lost. And ask the Lord to give me that understanding and that burden and concern that I should have. If the Lord reveals to me that I need to have a closer walk with Him, and that I need to abstain or forsake the world or myself, and He reveals that to me, and is faithful to talk to me about it, I need to embrace that with my heart. I don't need to just in a passing thought say, well, the Lord spoke to me, and I really feel that I could do better, but I want to keep my heart with a real diligence and the faith or belief in my heart with a real diligence, and I will embrace that. I will move into that place that the Lord has for me to have and to experience. In the 8th chapter of St. John, the Lord spoke to a people that had recently believed on him. Let me turn and read that. The 8th chapter of St. John and 30th verse, it said, "He spake these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the 36th verse, Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And I believe strongly this morning that the Lord has greater freedom from many lies. I know without question that he has a freedom from the power of sin, to whose lives are captivated, to those who are in the bondage of sin. I know the Lord has a freedom, a deliverance. And I know that comes through truth, that comes through the word of the Lord, through his promises. And every individual, if they'll truly believe in the portion of truth that will deliver them from the power of sin, they can be delivered. I believe this morning that there is a deliverance or a freedom from, as I mentioned, carnality. You know that song that we sing sometimes, Glorious Freedom? I can't remember all that it lists in there, but it's a beautiful song. Freedom from all that saddened my life. Freedom from all the lusts and the carnality of the flesh. I believe that today. I believe that it's given, the promise is given in the word of the Lord. I believe that the Lord made it available. I have seen a distinct difference in the word between the Apostle Peter before he received the Holy Ghost and after he received the Holy Ghost. Without question, there was a divine power, an enablement that he received. It was in the truth. And the scripture says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And when Peter received the Holy Ghost, he received a deliverance from the fear of men. He received a power within his life. And it yet works that way this morning. But I don't think that Peter just came in contact casually, "Well, I need more power in my life," or "I came a little short." But I believe that he met the conditions of the promise, the word of the Lord, and that he sought that from his heart. And he believed in it from his heart, and because he was able to believe it in his heart, he received the promise of the Father, of the Holy Spirit into his heart and life, and with that he received the power and the victory and the blessing of the Lord in his life. It yet works that way this morning in our lives, that you and I can have that power over the carnality that is so prevalent in the world this morning. And after we experience that, we find that there is within us a natural man. The flesh, that was with the Lord, wasn't it? Remember, the Lord had his temptations. And he was holy, he was righteous, and yet he was human. And so being saved and sanctified this morning, I'm still human. And I'm still subject to temptation. But there is a power, there is a deliverance, there is a freedom from the flesh that would war against the Spirit and limit the Spirit in working God's will and purpose in my life this morning. But I must continue to believe in the Lord and His Word and continue to believe in my heart unto His righteousness, into His ways. We sing a song, More Like Christ. And as we study and as we muse and pray about the life and the conduct of the Lord, and as we measure our lives by His life, we always see places of improvement. We always see places whereby that we can be more righteous and more like Christ. We will move into those places. We'll experience what we see when we believe in our hearts and receive the promise in our heart. Well, the Lord said that I could be victorious, that I could be more patient, that I could have greater faith, that I could be more like Christ. And therefore, I believe that in my heart, I accept it in my heart, that the Lord said He would give me the power over all the power of the enemy. That he would give me divine grace and enablement over all my frailties or over all of my weaknesses. I believe that with a heart, with my heart. I'm seeking the Lord and I'm going to receive it into my heart and life. Or I can say, well, I know I have weaknesses. I know I have shortcomings. And doesn't everyone else? And therefore, I'll just have to kind of live with them. See, that's doubting in my heart that the Lord is able to bring victory. The Lord is able to help me to surmount and to overcome the temptations or the weaknesses of my humanity. But it's through His divine power and grace that's available on a daily basis that I can receive that strength and power if I believe in my heart. So you see how important it is this morning. Our relationship with the Lord and what we receive of the Lord is according to our faith and the faith of our heart. I am convinced this morning that the Lord wants a real, genuine, close experience with every one of us. I really believe that. I believe this morning that the Lord wants that intimate relationship with you. He wants that closeness with you. In your communing with the Lord, in your daily life, I really believe this morning that the Lord wants that to be very close. And He certainly has committed Himself to that. He has done His part, and He's just waiting how we respond. If we follow Him afar off, then He permits that. If we in our life really want to be close to the Lord and want that close communion with Him and want that strong, real reality with Him, then that can be ours. But it comes through the belief of our heart. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and the 23rd verse, Jesus said here, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That's a commitment of the Lord. If an individual will love me, if he will keep my words, then I and the Father will come unto him and we'll dwell with him. We'll make our abode with him. We'll be there. I believe that this morning. I believe that if we set our love on the Lord, if we yield and give ourselves to his counsel, to his word, then I feel with all my heart that the Lord has promised and he will make his abode with us. If there are times in our life that we don't feel the closeness of his presence, we don't feel that he's making his abode to the degree of our desire, we might look at that. Am I manifesting my love? Is my love totally committed to him? Is he the affection? Is he the first in my affection? And am I carefully responding and yielding to his word, his counsel? And as we do that, you will have the presence of the Lord. It works that way. In every one of our lives, especially adults, we've probably met times that we become very conscious that we needed the presence of the Lord. We needed his help. And when we did that, we humbled our heart before him and we began to pour out our love to him, our adoration. And we also begin to examine closely the counsel of the Lord, the word of the Lord. It might have been a time we felt we really need to get our prayer through. We need the Lord's help. We're desperate for his help now. And so what we do in our individual life, we begin to examine it. And where are my affections? Well, in my examination, I might come to the conclusion my affections have been too much upon other things. And so we acknowledge that before the Lord and we repent of such and We place our affections rightly upon Him. And then we begin to examine how we have been responding to His Word, or His counsel in our individual life. And sometimes we'll have to acknowledge, I haven't been as careful or as diligent, see, with my heart. And I've been just a little indifferent. I had good intentions, but I let the natural or the flesh have its way. And I haven't really responded as careful as I should to the Lord. And when we recognize that, and when we ask the Lord's forgiveness, and He forgive us as such, and we put our affections first on Him, our love was strong unto Him, and the counsel that He had given us of His Word, we carefully yielded and submitted to that, then we felt the presence of the Lord. The Lord met us there. The Lord becomes very real to us. I don't think He's going to change that because of who He might be. I don't think He's going to say, well, you just kind of love who you want to. Love yourself. Love the world. Kind of regard my word if it's convenient, and I'll be right there. You'll just feel me real close, and I'll be very real and strong in your life. It isn't going to work that way. But as much as it's not working that way, it's going to work the other way. It will recognize the value and really want Him to make His abode with us. I would this morning that every one of us would truly in the heart reach out. I want more of God. I want more of His presence. I want more of His righteousness. I want more of that strength in my life. Because really that's where the joy and the victory and the happiness is. The Lord has committed Himself to abide with us. I think also in the 15th chapter of this same book, where Jesus said in the 3rd verse, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. The Lord inviting us to abide in Him, and that He would abide in us. And down into the 7th verse, Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciple. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Did you know this morning that the Lord wants every one of us to thoroughly enjoy the joy of the Lord? That He wants us to have true happiness, and He wants every one of us to have real peace. He really wants to share within every one of our lives. He wants to be first in our life, that He might bless us, that He might be real in our hearts this morning. I really think that. I really feel it strong that the Lord's looking down upon His children. Perhaps sometimes we're so busy and so involved, and all the time saying, oh, if my child would just draw a little closer, if my child would just seek to abide in me and let me abide in them and let me be their life, let me walk with them, let me commune with them, let me guard and care for them, and I will impart to them a peace that the world can't give, and I'll give to them the joy of salvation, the happiness and success in life. And I want so much to be their life. And yet, He always has to work around our will, our choice. Constantly working with it. What a big job He has. He really does. Every one of us knows us personally. And He's trying to get us to heaven. And He's trying not only to get us to heaven, to make us successful in this life. And to bless us. And to care for us. I feel strongly that way this morning. And so he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How much that we are abiding in the Lord, and the Lord is abiding in us, how much joy and peace and happiness and victory we have this morning relates directly to how well we're keeping our heart. For it's with the heart that we have the joy and the peace and the victory that we enjoy this morning. The 16th chapter of St. John, the 13th verse, Jesus said, howbeit when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Clearly teaching us, and I know that we're all aware of that this morning, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, was given to direct us and to lead us into all truth. It was designed to lead us and direct us into a personal walk with the Lord, a personal relationship with the Lord. Not just when we're in service, in church, but through the days and through the nights, through our temptations and through hard times, through good times, the Holy Spirit was given to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And I believe this morning that he's doing his job as much as we permit, as much as we allow in our individual lives. The Holy Spirit will lead us, everyone, into a close walk with the Lord and victorious with him. That is one of the ways that we keep our heart with all diligence, is through the work and the help of the Holy Spirit. We need him. Without him, we'd have a difficult time to keep our heart. For it's the Holy Spirit that at different times admonishes and corrects us and reveals to us. You ever hear people say, well, I felt checked of the Lord? Well, that was the Holy Spirit. And didn't Jesus say one time, I think in the Gospel of Luke, something about be careful that you don't become overcharged with the cares of life? And how can we escape the cares of life? Every one of us are involved with life. Every one of us have responsibilities in life. And the Bible teaches us to bear our responsibility in life. Be responsible. And then Jesus said, but be careful that you don't become overcharged. And it's the Holy Spirit that is the one that helps us be diligent and careful that we don't become overcharged with the cares of life. And when the temptation of the world is around and about us, and so deceptive many times, it is the Holy Spirit that unmasks. It's the Holy Spirit that exposes. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. And that's how we keep our heart with all diligence. The Scripture isn't talking about intellectually in our own minds trying real hard to be spiritual or to be right all the time. But we keep our heart with all diligence by the response that we have to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's faithful, whether it's convicting one of sin or a need of being sanctified or just a human need in their life. That's the office and the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we, in a positive way, respond and yield and humble and are obedient to the Holy Spirit, then we're keeping our heart with all diligence, okay? Recognizing the value of that. And so the Lord has been so good, so faithful to bless us with the Spirit of truth and the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into all truth. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, it speaks of the ministry that the Lord has placed in his church, in the body of Christ. And the function and the purpose of that was to bring perfection. I'll just take time to read here in the 11th verse. He said he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You realize this morning that we do live in a time when there is a great deceptions, and there is the slyness of the enemy and his people, and it seeks to deceive and to destroy and not really bring the liberty and the freedom and the joy that the truth brings. And so the Lord placed within his church those elders, the ministry in general. Many times it's maybe not just one that preaches the word, but those that are given a place in the body to advise and to counsel. We have elderly that certainly are able in the Lord to give that. And he's placed it all in the body for the perfection of the saints, to bring us into a greater likeness of Christ and a greater understanding of the Lord. Now, we keep our heart with all diligence by responding to what the Lord has provided in spirit. And you remember one place of belief, the Apostle Paul commended a people that had received the counsel of the word of the Lord. And he said, you didn't receive it as from me, but you received it as from God. We live in a time today that sometimes some people like to pick and choose what they hear from the ministry or from the elders. And they'll say, well, so-and-so said this, and I don't give that much regard, but others said this, and I like that, so I'll receive that. But we keep our heart with all diligence by receiving the whole counsel of God. And by those that God truly has called and uses and anoints and blesses, we respond to that with a submission and with an obedience as unto the Lord, and not necessarily the vessel or the individual. Keeping our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Lord has placed within his body his servants that he wants to speak through. And we want to recognize that, that this is the Lord that is speaking through his servant. Therefore, if it's from the word of the Lord and it's of the Spirit, I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to receive it. I'm going to be obedient to it into my heart and life. And in doing so, I'm keeping my heart with all diligence, recognizing that out of my heart are all the issues of life. Thank the Lord tonight, today, for his people and his way. In the 8th chapter of St. Luke, there is the parable of the sower and the seed. Most of you probably remember that. And the 11th verse, I'm not going to read this whole parable, but the 11th verse, it says, the parable is the seed, and the seed is the word of God. And then it tells how the seed being sown in different types of ground, and some, the devil immediately took it away, and some had no root, and so they received it with joy, but in a time of temptation, for the word's sake, they fell away. And others, they were the word was choked out with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. But the 15th verse says, but that on the good ground are they which in a honest and a good heart, having heard the word, kept it and bring forth fruit with patience. An honest and a good heart. Keeping your heart with all diligence. It's important this morning for us to have an honest and a good heart, to keep our heart with all diligence. As I mentioned, that there are so many deceptive things in the world. Sometimes we refer to compromise, and other times we refer to fanaticism. And That's true in the world there is. There's a lot of chaos and confusion. There's a lot of human efforts and deceivers. The important thing this morning is to keep a good and honest heart before the Lord, before His Word. And in doing so, we'll be able, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to keep our hearts. And keep them in tune with the Lord. And respond to Him in the right way. I noticed the other day, my children are of an age where it's been so long I don't remember them so well, but with my grandchildren, when we're in a place they're not familiar with, there's other people they don't know, they seem to like to hold my hand. I just noticed that. And I've concluded they did that because they feel more secure, more comfortable. What I'm telling you this morning is that we are living in a time when there are things we're not too familiar with, when there's a lot of chaos. If there was a time we need to put our hand in the hand of the Lord, it's today. We need to be in contact with the Lord. We can't afford to go on just what we think or perhaps what we know. But individually, we need to get our hand in the hand of the Lord's. And we need to walk close to Him, keeping our hearts with all diligence. For out of it, really, is how we're living this morning. I want to emphasize this morning how important our response to the Lord is. How important it is to have an honest heart before Him. Individually, personally, as the Lord speaks to us and as He's faithful, that we would always have that ground that's good and honest. And then when we go through the trials and the tests, things that we're going to meet in life, we can keep our heart well. We can keep it with victory. In the 95th Psalm, I'd like to read a few verses, starting with the 7th. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, or the time when God was provoked with His people, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I'd like us to consider this morning who He's speaking of here, and who He's addressing us to. To a people that was His people. A people that He brought a marvelous, miraculous deliverance to. Brought them out of the land of Egypt. A great deliverance. And yet we find shortly after that, through their unbelief, through their disobedience, through their murmuring, failing to respond, they provoke God, and He said in His wrath, He swore that they would not enter into that land of rest. It says, today, if you'll hear His voice, and harden not your heart. And I know this morning that most often we refer to this as people that are not saved, and trust that they won't harden their heart when the God of love and mercy is dealing with them. But I want to bring it down a little closer this morning. And I want to bring it down to every one of us who know the Lord. And challenge us, help us to really consider that when the Lord speaks to me, that I'll not harden my heart. When the Holy Spirit deals with any area of my life, through His Word, through my personal relationship with Him, through the ministry, through my brother or sister, whatever means He would choose to speak to my heart, that I would not harden my heart. And as I thought of this, I thought, really, there's probably different degrees of hardening. There are people today that don't want to hear the name of the Lord or His anything about Him. They're that hard. They've hardened themselves. They don't want to hear anything about God. There are others that would allow you to talk some about God. And there are some that might even give you more time. There are degrees of hardening oneself. And I wonder this morning, is it possible that we might just harden ourselves a little when the Lord is dealing or speaking to us along one line or another? One way it's easy to harden ourselves just a little is to begin to excuse ourselves. Begin to reason within ourselves. Perhaps the Lord is talking to me about a very close place in my life. And so I began and I said, well, others aren't doing that, or others aren't responding like that, and I don't see others living just like that. And what I'm really doing is I'm just hardening myself just a little bit to the Spirit of the Lord, to God, wanting to accomplish in my life what He wants to. I want to, in the fear of the Lord and in love, caution us not to harden our hearts to the voice of the Lord. To respond, to yield to the Lord as He would speak to us in whatever way He so desires. In the 78th Psalm, and I've always been impressed with this scripture in the 78th Psalm, in the 40th verse, 41st, it says, how oft did they provoke Him, provoke God in the wilderness, and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. This morning, is it possible that we would limit God in our life? Limit God and really what He wants to accomplish and how close He wants to walk with us and how much He wants to abide in our life? When He spoke of His chosen people, Israel, in the wilderness there, He said, they limited God. God wanted to do more for them. God wanted to be bigger, and He wanted to do greater things for them, but they limited Him, turned Him back. And I'm confident this morning that it can yet be that way, people today. They can limit God in what He really wants to be to them and how close He wants to live in their life. By maybe just hardening ourselves a little bit. I don't want to do that. In Hebrews, it refers to the same scriptures that I'm reading in Psalms, and I'd like to turn and read a few of them. In the 3rd chapter of Hebrews, says in the 6th verse, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now the 12th verse says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Lest we become indifferent. Lest we become not as tender and responsive because of the deceitfulness of sin or unbelief. And He's speaking to us as brethren. He says, be careful. less through the deceitfulness of sin, less through the unbelief, less through the reasoning of the flesh, we harden ourselves just a little bit to the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'm well aware this morning that there are those that have had experiences where they were overly conscientious. But I want to tell you, that's the exception rather than the rule. Too many times in people's lives, as they have not been as diligent to keep their heart, not been as careful as they ought to have been, and you probably have heard him say occasionally, well, there was a time in my life when I was more careful and I was just overly conscientious. I'm going to say it again. I know there are times, there is an exception, where sometimes the enemy will take advantage of someone and their conscience and will harass them and will endeavor to press them. But more times than that, if we're not careful, we can harden ourselves just a little bit. Through my human desire or reasoning, and feel like, well, you know, when God dealt with me, I was just a little too conscientious. I just want to mention that this morning. We don't want the enemy to take advantage either way. We don't want him to cause us, to drive us with a way whereby that we are too conscientious. But he's going to endeavor to get us to become somewhat indifferent to the faithfulness and the Spirit of the Lord as he speaks to us and endeavoring to lead us to a closer walk with the Lord. Keep your heart with all diligence. The Holy Spirit's going to help us. The Word of the Lord's going to help us. God will help us. You and I can, by His help, be kept. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and the fifth verse says, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith and fame, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Jangling is to quarrel with words or to talk idle. Excuse me. Having swerved and turned aside, failed to keep a good conscience. The Lord does speak to our conscience many times. It's important to keep a good and honest heart. It's important to keep a good, tender, clear, conscience of the Spirit of the Lord. He spoke of a people here, Paul writing Timothy, that had turned and swerved, and they failed to have a good conscience. The 19th verse says, holding faith in a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. This morning it is important that we have a good conscience. Did you ever hear anyone say, well, my conscience don't bother me? And the fruit of their conduct, you kind of raise your eyebrows a little. Oh, it don't bother me. What I said was true. My conscience is clear. Conscience is only safe as it's a good conscience. There's seared conscience. There's conscience that are not honest, not pure. And so, we keep our heart with all diligence by keeping a good conscience, clear conscience, honest before the Lord, before one another. Keeping our hearts with all diligence, brought of the issues of life. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, now I'd like to turn. And the 43rd verse says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit, for every tree is known of his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now the Lord in this instruction. And my burden, my thought this morning has been keeping our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And now the Lord saying to us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. And so this morning, there is fruit of our heart. If our heart is not being kept, then the fruit is not real good. If our heart is being kept by the help of the Lord and by His Spirit and by our response to the Lord, then that will be the fruit of our life. That works. Sometimes, especially in the religious world, you've probably heard that it's the heart that God looks at, the heart that God that really counts before God, and He's not all that concerned about the outward man. You ever heard that? Well, I've come to this conclusion that God no doubt does look in our hearts, and God does judge our hearts, and God no doubt, well, I know He's able to do that. The Lord did that. People murmured in their hearts, remember? There were people whose heart was not right in the sight of the Lord, and He told them. And God has that ability to look into the heart and know the heart. But could you know your heart with nothing, no exterior at all? If you had no thoughts, if you had no words, if you had no deeds, could you know your heart? The Lord has made it where we can know our hearts. We can know the conditions of our heart. And I'm pretty much convinced that's one of the greatest reasons that He made us a twofold being. And this morning, you can know, and you do know your heart, by the way that you live your life. And that's how the Holy Spirit talks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and corrects us by the outward man, the deeds of the outward man. The thoughts of the outward man, the words of the outward man, the ways of the outward man, all of those things is how the Holy Spirit reveals and tells us about the condition of our heart. The Lord already knows our heart. And that makes me to know that our heart is real important. But the outward man is important too. And I don't accept the thought of the big part of the religious world this morning that says God is not concerned and God is not really that taking that much note of the outward man because I know He is. And I want us to know as a congregation that God is concerned about our outward man. And He is looking upon that. And though He don't stop there, He recognized the roots go to the heart, yet He is concerned about our outward man, and we need to be concerned about our outward man. Because the outward man reflects what's in the heart, the fruit thereof. You ever said something that you wish you wouldn't have said? I don't know why I said that. Not know we're human. And I know we make mistakes sometimes, you know, just say things that perhaps the motive may not really be in the heart. You know, sometimes we're just mistaken. But a lot of the time we say things and there's something in our heart that needs to be taken care of that we wouldn't have known any other way. And so the Lord permits the circumstances and the trial to come, and we say something, and immediately the Spirit of the Lord checks us. Says, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Well, why did I do that? And then the Lord begins to say, well, you didn't have enough love. Or maybe you hadn't really forgiven like you should. And that's why you responded like you did. You see, the outward man reflects or is the fruit of the inward man. And that is why God is concerned about the outward man, and we need to be concerned about our outward man. Doesn't the scripture say in Proverbs that God hates a proud look? Why does God hate a proud look? Because the proud look comes from a proud heart. And God was able to look down in the heart. He saw the pride in the heart. And that's why he hates the proud look. I have a concern this morning. And I think as individuals, as a congregation, as a church, we need to recognize the value and importance of the outward man. And we need to keep the outward man by means of the heart with all diligence, recognizing the value, and that is a great part of our testimony. I don't want to become shoddy concerning the truth in the inward man. I don't want to be shoddy in the outward man. When it comes to my thoughts, when it comes to my words, when it comes to my deeds, when it comes to the way that I live, the things that I wear, the places I go, the things that I do, it reflects, it's the fruit of my heart. And if it's less than righteousness and holiness and what's pleasing to God, I need to get back and begin taking care of my heart. In closing, the third verse, it says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I believe that's the way the Lord feels about this morning. I believe it thrills the heart of the Lord when he sees his children walking in the truth, responding to his Spirit, keeping their heart with all diligence, keeping their life with carefulness, responding in a positive way, not hardening the heart, not becoming gospel-hardened or calloused or indifferent, but a real fervent response and amen and submission to God, and His Word, and His Spirit in my life. May the Lord bless each one as our prayer challenges to walk close to the Lord.